Church, morning internet, good to have you all here. Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday to that guy who just sat down. Yeah, whatever he says. Go love on him. He loves that. We're going to jump into our message. You all ready for God's word this morning? Amen. All right, good. All right, some of them. Jenny said prayed for courage. I appreciate that because anytime we bring a message like this, I did have somebody ask me, hey, are we ever going to come back to the Gospel of John? Because it's been like 2.5 months, you know, you all missing the Gospel of John? Anybody? Anybody's, yeah, you know, Rick, I know you said that, right? Said it's kind of left unfinished, kind of like, you know, like you're trying to hold a sneeze back, you know? I assure you, we're going to come back to the Gospel of John probably next week, actually. But for this week, I felt the Lord leading me to address, based on some conversations I've been having with some folks, and certainly when we, you know, we live in this world and we deal with current events, and so we should address them, right? There's the normal ups and downs of life, and I'm going to say that recognizing that's an incredible simplification of the ups and downs, because I know every person here has stuff going on in your lives that are vitally, critically important to you, whether really, 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 really good or really, really hard, you know, and we've experienced all that with alongside you. And then on top of that, you have these national and global issues that it can be overwhelming, you know, it kind of can feel like it's the end of the world, right? You know, the REM song, It's the End of the World as We Know It, you know, go ahead and you're singing it now, and it's on Spotify, go check it out. It's a good tune, actually. But, you know, we're, as Jenny said, you know, we're 15 days away from the presidential election, in which both political parties have accused the other of being a very threat to the whole idea of democracy in the first place. We've experienced two deadly hurricanes in the last few weeks that have resulted in hundreds of deaths and millions of dollars in damage. And on top of that, there are global conflicts. The ongoing war in Ukraine, which is into its third year now, and of course Israel at war, it's just marked the anniversary of a year in conflict. All these things are swirling around, and it can be like, it's the end of the world, it's all over, you know? But as you can see our message title here, it's not the end of the world, God is still in control, and as a result, you're fine. All right, our main point this morning is going to be this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you, and then I'll tell you what I told you, and that is that even though the days are dark, no mistake about it, the days are dark, God the Father is still in control. We're going to see that from His Word. Even though He is in control, we have a responsibility to be His light in the darkness, right? And maybe you're sitting here or you're watching and you're going, well, why should I even care? You know, how are these global events even connected, and why do they matter to me, right? And I recognize, you know, listen, we're going to talk about all those things today, right? And I know that anytime we bring up politics in church, that's a hot button issue, and I sincerely recognize that each and every person here has a worldview that has been shaped by your own experiences and the information that you have gathered through whatever means over the course of your lifetime that has resulted in this viewpoint of the world, and I understand that and I respect that. The challenge for us as believers is always the same, and that is to allow the Word of God, the timeless, never-changing bedrock principles of the Word of God, to inform our knowledge and our experience and to transform our thinking so that we think like the Spirit of God thinks and not like our flesh thinks. That's always the challenge. That's the goal, really, of every message that I bring, is to transform our thinking according so that we think like God does and not like we do. Because as we think, therefore we're going to act, and that's going to make what's going to make the difference in our world. So politics in church, you know, and I know some folks get upset about that, and like, you know, this is kind of your out if you want to go. I understand that. I respect that. But really, where else should we be talking about politics but in the church? Because we want to come to the Word of God for counsel in every area of our lives and not separate it and say, well, that part doesn't apply, but all the more so it applies in this case. So that we think, you know, again, so that we respond according to not to our flesh, but the Spirit of the living God who lives inside us. So that's our goal this morning. And, you know, when we're talking about politics and politics, what is politics, but really is the enaction of policies that direct and influence our course of life, where else should we be talking about it but right here, right? We want to talk about it, we want to understand it, and then understand what our part is in it. So I'm not telling you who to vote for, all right? So we're good on that. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I legally can't do that. And so I absolutely believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm called to uphold the law to the highest standard as much as possible, so long as it does not directly contradict the moral law. And in this case, it does not, so I'm not going to do that. All right, we all good on that? All right, so everybody relax. Not telling you who to vote for. As I said a few weeks ago in the message in Jenny's series, you know, when we did the message together, we live in a world in which, you know, the world being the flesh, really, the mind that wants simple solutions to complex questions, and that's a fabrication. You know, that's a falsehood and a disrespect to anybody who has to encounter and address some of the very complex situations. Because, you know, who knows? You all know life is hard, right? When you get older, especially as, you know, and I hate the phrase adulting, but yet, you know, adulting is hard. You know, and on that, you know, I have the utmost respect for you guys. I wouldn't want to trade places with you. I'm thankful for the knowledge I've gained, you know, over time. But, you know, it gets, spoiler alert, it gets a lot more difficult for us the longer we go here, okay? But again, we're not going to come at it from our flesh or our preconceived ideas. We're going to come at it from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Let's read Proverbs 16:4. Nice and loud together, right? This is the truth of God's Word. The Lord has made everything for its or his purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. That's a tough pill to swallow to start, isn't it? That the Lord has made everything for his purpose, including the wicked for the day of evil. I mean, how does a hurricane fit God's purposes? How is that just? How is that right? How does that accomplish his will, right? I mean, if we could be honest here, we would probably expect that to happen to San Francisco or something. But North Carolina? Like, isn't that God country? Isn't that where he lives? Are you telling me that there's not one single Christian living in North Carolina or Georgia or Florida who wasn't adversely affected by a hurricane? Who maybe lost their life or lost property? Like, right, God? What are we doing here? We need a little context to help us understand our place, where we are, right? And this is what the scriptures say. The scriptures tell us that God the Father existed before anything else in the universe. And before he did anything in creation, the first thing he did through the power of the Holy Spirit was to create wisdom itself. And by that wisdom, then, he established the universe as we know it and don't even understand it. The ever-expanding universe. Okay, and that because he has done that, because he is the creator of all things, that there is absolutely nothing that is greater than the creator. Nothing in creation is greater than the creator himself. And so he knows, he has it all. He knows everything from, he tells every lightning bolt where to go. And it says in his word that not a sparrow doesn't drop a feather to the ground that doesn't escape his notice. He holds it all. And if he holds it all, because he's a creator of all things, then we don't get to pick and choose which parts of our lives he holds and controls. It all belongs to him. If the Father cannot hold it all, if he's incapable of holding it all, then he is not a God that we can trust. That's not the kind of God I want to serve. Trust my life to. This life, let alone the eternal life. But if he is the God who can hold it all, then our circumstances are irrelevant to our trust in him. And I say that saying that the Father is intimately aware of your struggles, the things that you're facing, the joys, the sorrows, the heartaches. He is not blind or oblivious or aloof to that. He cares more deeply than anyone or anything in all the universe. But yet, our circumstances do not change his character. That's why when Jesus was out with his disciples and they're in a boat and Jesus says, we're going across to the other side because that's what the Father told me to do. And so we get in a boat and we're rowing across and Jesus is tired, so he takes a nap, right? And so naps are good. They're scriptural, they're spiritual. Take naps. Jesus takes a nap and a storm comes up and the disciples are like, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing out here? Don't you see the waves? Don't you feel the wind and the rain? Don't you care? And Jesus wakes up and says, what's wrong with you? You have little faith. We're going because that's what the Father said to do. The situation, the circumstances are irrelevant. God promises to draw near to the brokenhearted. Saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34:18. You notice you can't spell devil without evil? Okay? Anytime something bad happens, we know the source. We know who's at the root of it. John 10:10, the thief has come only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. That's who he is. And yet, right, there's a difference between what the Lord does and what he allows. And yet the Lord uses those evil things for his purposes. Why? Right? Because you need darkness in order to see the light. 1 Corinthians 11:19, Paul says there are factions in the church, and it's good that there's factions in the church so that those who are upright may be identified. We need the darkness so that the light can shine. So how are recent events connected? Why should we care? Right? God's in control, but why should we care? All right, so we're going to read here Matthew 24. I'm going to read this because it's kind of a lengthy passage, and I'm going to add my notes to it. You all read that okay on the screen? Yeah, good. All right, Matthew 24, Scripture being fulfilled today. All right, as he was sitting on the mountain of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? When are you going to reach Jesus? You've already told us that you're going away, but you're going to come back. And when you come back, you're going to establish your kingdom forever, and all the sin and all that stuff's going to go away. So, like, that's really cool. When's that going to happen? Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Now, just what does that imply? People are going to try and mislead you, right? There is going to be a willful, intentional, relentless attempt to mislead you from the truth. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. That's why I said, it's not the end of the world yet. Okay? So we all breathe. All right, it ain't over yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. And that's when you know you're really in the last days, when Christians start turning on one another because the heat's getting turned up. When persecution and tribulation replace what had been the status quo, acceptance and even the promotion of the gospel. When that switches, then you know. Does any of that sound familiar? It's the change in the world acceptance of Christianity that will drive many to fall away from the faith. And I certainly believe that a large portion of the responsibility the Lord has given me in this time and place is to prepare the church for the Lord's soon return by strengthening your roots so that you stand firm when the storms hit. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. What is lawlessness? It is the being without God's word, without his law. Either through ignorance, we don't know God's law because it isn't being taught anymore, or we know it and we're willingly ignoring it and walking away from it, willingly violating it. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we're not there yet, right? Everybody said it's not the end of the world yet. But we see Matthew 24 being played out today. Global conflict, right? The Middle East. We're going to talk about Israel in just a minute. You have the Ukrainian war going on. So we have outright wars, rumors of wars, China and North Korea, you know, both rattling their sabers, threatening, all those things, all right? So we're, you know, keeping an eye on all that stuff. So wars and rumors of wars. Two, Jesus said, you will be hated because of Christ's name. And that's a big distinction, right? People may hate you simply because you're an idiot. But the important part is if they hate you because of Jesus Christ living inside of you. That's the distinction. There is... okay. As in any religion or organization or fan base, if you will, there are always those who are, you know, who walk the medium. They walk the middle line, you know? And there's always going to be extremes. Christianity has them, so does every other religion. But we need to understand what we are facing as a collective in the globe, all right? The whole idea of, well, all you need is love and give peace a chance and we'll all get along fine, does not work, will not work, when you are facing an ideology from the radical Muslim population who believes they have been given a mandate to wipe out Christians and Jews from the face of the planet because they see them as evil incarnate. They see us as the great Satan. And so that's why they have been targeting Jews for thousands of years. And that goes all the way back to the very beginning of Abraham and him trying to take matters into his own hands and bring about a child that would become the father of a nation. And he did. And that father, Ishmael, that son, Ishmael, became the father of the Arab nation. And then he did things according to God's way and gave birth to his son, Isaac, who became the father of Jacob, who became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they've been at war ever since. But we have to understand that the militant Muslims see Jews and anyone who upholds Jesus Christ as Messiah, therefore, i.e. America, as a threat to their world, and they believe they've been given a mandate by Muhammad to wipe them out from the face of the earth. And so, well, let's just talk it out, is not going to work. Israel understands that. That's why they're going to war and why they're saying we're not stopping until it's done. That's not, I don't mean that as an offense to anyone who practices, is a practicing Muslim, but we have to understand that at its core, that's what's there. The third part is a nation divided, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And right now, America is a nation divided. And I'm telling you that when the two major political parties spend all their time pointing fingers at each other, then the rest of the world laughs and our enemies get stronger. So we have a nation divided and we have a church divided. Jesus said that there would be many false teachers who would come and lead people astray. And we can, you know, it doesn't take long before you do, you know, take a poll of churches to see the varying ways in which they are interpreting Scripture and saying, well, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, and I want to curry favor with this group, whatever. And so we're gonna loosen up what this actually says rather than upholding it. And Blue Mountain Community Church was founded on a mandate from God, from Jesus Christ himself, to Pastor Rick, to preach the uncompromised word, and Jenny and I aren't going to back away from that in any way, shape, or form. I got nothing to lose. That might make us unpopular. We're going to talk more about the truth in a minute, all right? So Matthew 24 being played out in our world today, okay, Cliff, you're painting kind of a dark picture here. Where's the hope, right? You know, what did Jesus say? The one who endures to the end will be saved. We want to be among those who endure to the end, yes? Absolutely. Well, how do we do that, right? And you know, and we see this in the Scriptures over and over and over again. Jesus encouraging us, saying, listen, it's going to get tough, but, you know, stay the course. You know, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't follow men. Don't follow after stuff. Follow me, he says, and you'll be it. And that's why Revelation, you know, it's over and over again. Here is the perseverance of the faith of the saints. Revelation 13:10, Revelation 14:12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. We want to be the ones who endure until the end. Now, we're going to read Revelation 12 in just a minute here, and I got to say this, right? Whenever we read Revelation, you know, extreme caution flags go up. Slow down when we read Revelation 12, because it's not written like any other of the books in the Bible, but we don't pick up on that because it's translated into our English, and so we just read it as it is. But we don't understand that it was written in a largely poetic form. It's tough to... You can make any dream or vision fit what you want it to. Understand Revelation does not necessarily follow a linear timeline, okay? Even though God can and does work in a linear fashion for our benefit, he operates and exists outside of space and time. He's not held to linear standards, and so he is all around it, and Revelation is that. Rather than being linear, it's kind of circular, and so it's here and here and here and here. It's kind of like watching a Christopher Nolan movie, right? You got this part and then this part and this part. Like, oh, at the end, oh, now I see how it all fits together. That's kind of how Revelations fit. Maybe that's where he got his inspiration from. I don't know. But anyway, Revelation 12, okay? Again, I'm just throwing some caution out here. What I'm going to say here, the notes, the parts that are in the italicized, that this is my interpretation of Revelation 12. It's open to debate. You're more than welcome to come discuss it with me, all right? But this is what I believe Revelation 12 is saying. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the nation of Israel. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Now that is, I believe, a direct reference to Jesus Christ, but I also believe it's backing up that it's the birth of the nation itself through the 12 tribes. Because it didn't come easy. There was a lot of trouble in that early setup before they were established. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. Red dragon, that's the devil. We got that one figured out. That's the easy part. And she, the woman, gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the government who rests upon his shoulders, who was crucified for our sin, died, was buried in a tomb, came back to glorious life under the power of the Holy Spirit, and ascended into heaven with the promise he's coming again one day. Amen. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. I'm not even going to try and put that math to make it to work. You can manipulate numbers however you want, but I believe that is the persecution of the early church, beginning with the Roman occupation and the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The Jews were scattered. It started with the persecution of the Christians immediately after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of persecution, fled into all the areas of the Middle East and Asia Minor and Africa and all those things, okay? That's where the Christians went. But then the Romans, because Christianity was growing, and so Nero needed a scapegoat because he was losing control, and so he burned Jerusalem to the ground, and that's when the Jews were dispersed. And they stayed that way for roughly, I'm going to do the math, roughly 1,900 years, till 1948. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. What did Jesus say, right? Don't be deceived. In the last days, many will come trying to deceive you. Who's the deceiver? The devil. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, this is where, again, this is not linear. This is back to when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, and he said, "It is finished." He broke the power of sin by becoming sin on our behalf, paid that sin debt, broke the power of sin so that the devil could no longer come into the throne room of God and accuse you and I of all the things we've done wrong before God the Father. See Job chapter 1 for what that looked like before Christ. Because that's what the devil did. He'd come in and say, "Well, your people just folly because, you know, they can do whatever they want. How about Job over there, right?" They'd be like saying, "How about Seth? You know? How about Kathy? Have you considered that?" You know? Now he can't do that. He can't come into the throne room of God anymore. He can't bring up our sin because that has been bought and paid for and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now he's down here on earth to deceive everyone who's here. And they, being believers, overcame him, the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. God has equipped you to overcome and defeat the devil. And you do that by what Jesus has already done for you and by what Jesus is doing through you in the here and now. For this reason, rejoice. Everybody say, rejoice. Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. Rejoice. Oh, heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth. Oh, wait a minute here. What? Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you. Oh, great. I'm supposed to rejoice over that? Having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. The devil knows he's already lost. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And so, yes, he persecuted believers, and he has persecuted the nation of Israel nonstop ever since. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And here is where I would posit that that is a reference to America, who has been Israel's greatest ally for the last 100 years. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And that's the persecution and attack on the Gentile Christians, on the global church. That's us. And that's where we are today. Now, I want to refer you back to a fantastic message from April 21st. It's on our website, both the video and the audio archive. April 21st, why Israel is so important. Pastor Rick brought a tremendous message about the history of all those things. I summed up a lot of it here, but put that in perspective, frame it. Okay? We have to understand our place in history, where we are right now. From Genesis 17, when God spoke to Abraham, all the way up through Revelation 12, is the story of God establishing and preserving his people. Despite the continual attempt by hostile neighbors and nations to utterly wipe them from the face of the earth. Those are earthly forces that are acting under demonic impulses, because the devil is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the source of all evil. He's the one who hates the woman and all her offspring, whether they are Jew by heritage or Christians as a result of what came out of the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ. But that God continually upholds them supernaturally. He upholds his people and blesses all those who do the same. Israel, we just, October 7th, 1 year anniversary of the attack by Hamas in Gaza over disputed land. Israel now fighting on three fronts. Hamas to the south, Lebanon to the north, and Iran to the east. And those enemies have been emboldened in their attacks because of the passive response from the United Nations and from the United States. On October 1st, Iran launched missiles into Israel and then had the audacity to say, you cannot retaliate for our missile strike. What? So I can punch you, but you can't punch back. That's the mandate they believe they have and the ideology they have towards Israel. Their only goal is to exterminate the Jews. Folks, every election is important. Why? Because your local officials represent you, the constituents, to the state officials, representatives and senators, who in turn represent you to the federal, to the all the way up to the executive branch of the United States of America, the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief. Those officials are to speak for the constituents. And when they don't do that, when they operate according to their own mindset or to their own ideology or to whoever's whispering in their ear the loudest, then the check and balance system that we have in America kicks in, which is the electoral process. And if you don't think that your representative has done a good job, you vote them out and you vote somebody else in who you feel upholds the values that you have. When Christians are indifferent to that process, to that system, then evil advances. Now, maybe you've heard this quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Have you heard that? Maybe? Okay. So that is not a quote from British statesman Edmund Burke, although it's often attributed to him. It is actually not even derived from, because this came later. He said this around, he agreed with the American Revolution and all those things. This came out actually, but this is the actual phrasing. Bad men need nothing more to compass their ends than that good men should look on and do nothing. That's the actual quote from John Stuart Mill, an English philosopher. But both of those things are derived from Proverbs 24, verse 10 and 11. If you are slack in the day of distress, meaning, or another translation says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. So that's why I say every election is important. Because when we stand by and do nothing, evil advances. The question to ask as we approach the coming election is the defining factor for who you vote for really should not be on the economy, the border, taxes. All those things are important to us, but the deciding factor really should be which of the candidates' policies regarding the nation of Israel most closely align with what God's promises and prophecies are. That's who you throw your weight behind. That's who you support. Really, it comes down to who is on board with what God is doing and who is opposing him. I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Am I on board with what God is doing, or am I opposing him? All the more, then, we have to be careful about who we support and what they're promoting. Now, okay. There's all kinds of information out there and opinions, and, right? Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and it usually smells. Whose opinion really matters, okay? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm simply throwing out there the caution about who you listen to and who influences you as far as who to vote for. Okay, now, I referenced Kid Rock a few weeks ago, right? Listen, I'm going to take whatever Kid Rock says with a grain of salt, a massive grain of salt, because anybody who sings ba wa da ba ba da bang da dang diggy 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 said the boogie, said up jump the boogie. It's a great tune, but it's an ultimate workout song, if you don't doubt it. But anyway, anybody who sings that, maybe I don't want to take political advice from them. On the other hand, when Chappelle Roan gets up there and sings, oh, I'm knee-deep in the passenger seat, and I'm not even going to go any further than that because the rest of it is incredibly vulgar, maybe that's not the kind of person I want to take my political advice from. Be careful who you're listening to. And, of course, the Babylon Bee, spot on once again, woman who made career singing about her bad choices, endorses Kamala. All right, I couldn't resist that one. I am encouraging you to do your own independent, non-biased research. Don't get all your information from Fox News. Don't get all your information from CNN. And don't get it from TikTok. Bill Maher actually had a pretty good rant the other day about this one in particular. And look, I'm going to disagree with Bill Maher on a lot of things, but he got this one spot on, especially talking about TikTok being a Chinese company, and the Chinese would love for nothing better than for America to hate America. Okay, so knowledge, right? Do your research according to your guidebook, guiding to the roadmap you have for life, according to this word, which is timeless, which God has promised that those who follow him and would obey it would experience the abundant life in the here and now and the eternal life that is to come. I'm encouraging you, asking you, to pray in earnest for your president, whoever that is, because at the end of the day, your president is a human being who needs God's grace and his wisdom just to get through the day, just like you and I do. All the more so because of the decisions they make, right? But that's back to Kid Rock. You know, he said, listen, you know who I'm voting for, and I ain't voting for the guy because he's a saint. I'm voting for him because he knows how to win and he knows how to run the business that is America. And I can't say that. Literally can't say that because we get sued for it. I don't want to do that. The question to ask yourself is, how are you representing Jesus to the world? How are you representing Jesus to the world? I mean, yes, we have a responsibility to know the truth, but we also have a responsibility to know what truth you need to speak, when, and to whom. Okay? To borrow the phrase from those who have gone before me, I'm going to meddle a bit. You know, putting up a social, and this isn't aimed at anybody in particular, but just things that I've seen whenever I see Christians acting stupidly. Putting a social media post up that says, you know, God is judging America through hurricanes because of its sin. Is that a truth? I mean, we read it in Matthew 24. That's what's going to happen. Is that a truth? Sure it is. Is that the truth we need to say right now? I'm telling you that spouting that out is not going to curry you any credibility with people who are hurting right now. I mean, contrary to what MTG said, you know who that is, there's only one person who controls the weather, and he's not part of any secret government. It may be true. It may be true. Or it might just be a really, you know, it might be global warming. It might not be. It might just be a hurricane in the middle of hurricane season in Hurricane Alley. But it's not appropriate in a time when people are hurting. Because those are still real people on the other end of that, real people who matter so much to God that they are the most important thing in all of his creation, that he gave his son on a cross to die for them. We love that truth, but anybody else, well, you know, they're getting what they deserve. May it never be. What makes a bigger impact? I had a student come to me a couple weeks ago. She said, I don't know what to do with this situation. She said, I have a friend at school who was a boy, but now he's wants to be called by a different name and use she, her pronouns. And if, you know, if you or somebody you know is wrestling with that, then I want you to hear what I just said. That you matter most to the living God, that he cares for you, that he had you in mind when he formed you in the womb, that all that you have comes from him, and that he has a plan and a purpose for your life that is good, that is full of peace, that is full of purpose. But the first step is knowing him and understanding his word so that you can walk in it. And so I don't say that with any judgment. She said, I don't know how to deal with that. What do I do? Because I don't believe in that. I said, sure. Because we know what God's word says. I said, let's play a hypothetical game here. I said, there's two approaches. You could say, on one hand, you could say, I don't believe in that life choice, and so therefore, I'm not going to call you by those pronouns. I'm going to use he, him. In which case, what's the response going to be? I mean, let's start it off, right? What does this person need foremost? What do they need? They need a relationship with Jesus Christ, because only he can transform and heal and deliver from the inside out. Whatever it is, they need Jesus first. So if we say, I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to do that. In other words, I'm not going to respect you as a person. Why are they going to respect what you have to say? It's a closed door, right? On the other hand, what is there possibly to gain by saying, I don't agree with that, but I respect you and care for you as a person, so I'm going to do that out of respect for you so that we can maintain a relationship so that you can introduce them to Jesus. Which one is going to have the better result? It's still a roll of dice, because I understand that the moment we say, and especially in this culture, for whatever social issue it is, the moment we say, I don't agree with that, what comes back is, well, you're a hater and therefore I'm done. But you don't get to control that. All you can control is your approach. So how are you representing Jesus to the world? Know the truth. Know what truth you need to speak when. The truth, right? Know the truth. Know what truth you need to speak and when. I am a massive G.I. Joe fan from the time I'm a kid. but they're wrong. Knowing is not half the battle. Matt, are you all right up there? I feel you, man. Knowing is not half the battle. Far more important is how, when, where, why, and to whom you wield that truth. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And Paul goes on to say, for you are called to freedom, my brothers and sisters. Only do not let your freedom, turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let your light shine. Be bold in upholding God's eternal principles. Understand that the world, the devil, and the flesh are going to hate you for it. That Jesus Christ was the living epitome of love itself, love incarnate. And he so frustrated and confounded the people around him that the corrupt and self-serving religious people conspired with the corrupt and self-serving government officials to have him executed. So don't be surprised when it happens to you. In Ephesians 5, can we read Ephesians 5, verses 13 through 16, nice and loud together? Let it sink in, let it become part of what we do, right? But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil, because the days are dark. Even though the days are dark, God the Father is still in control. History and prophecy unfolding around us, God hasn't changed his mind. There is no scenario in which the devil can undo what Jesus has already done and established. All right? Sorry, Seth. This isn't the American League Championship Series in which there was back and forth of, man, who's going to win this series and one big swing after another. I mean, that was a great series, I'm going to be honest. And not just because the Yankees won. All right? But, you know, nail biting. I go, oh my gosh, who's going to win this thing? That's not how it works here. The outcome is foregone. It's already done. It's set in stone. And no man and certainly no devil can undo it. God is still in control. The one who endures to the end will be saved. What does Jesus tell us? John 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. Be not troubled. Right? Believe in God, believe in me. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world you have trouble, you have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Don't let your heart be troubled. Take courage. Even though the Father is still in control, we have a responsibility to be his light in the darkness. How do we do that? How do we do that? Let your light shine. First and foremost, pray. Pray all the time. Paul says be in a continual state of prayer. That doesn't mean that you're in your closet hiding away 24/7, but in a constant communication with the Father, asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to say in this encounter? Because every encounter is by you, right? There's no coincidences with God. So this person's here. What do you have me to say? Pray all the time. Folks have sent me, come and say, hey, you know, can we have a prayer service because of what's going on in Israel and because of the presidential election? I said, we have a prayer service every Thursday night. Larry's got his prayer group here. Come on out, Thursday night. They spend an hour in prayer. That's a great time to do it. The church that prays, man, that's you want to make a difference? We start on our knees. We pray, and we have an impact, an exponential impact in the spiritual realm by joining together in prayer. 2, obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. What is the Lord telling you to do? And I love, in the last couple of weeks, I've had several encounters with folks who have come to me, you know, and like Jane came to me and she said, hey, I formed this connection with the guy when we were on our tour in Israel there, and he's in a real hardship because of the war going on there, and he's in the tourist business. He goes, I really feel like we're supposed to send him some money. So we sent $1,000 over to that guy to help, you know. Okay, but, you know, and that, what I love about it is it's not a you should, right? But she said, this is what I feel. You know, got Rodney out there. He's down in North Carolina delivering all this stuff for people, you know, collecting all this stuff. Drive down there and deliver it, right? That's not a, hey, you should, the church should, hey, Cliff, Jen, you should. But he's saying, I feel I need to do this, and I'm stepping up. So what's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? He's given each of you a circle of influence. What are you doing with it? How are you wielding it? Thirdly, do your part. Do your part. Step up. Be responsible. Be informed. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:8, 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Peter 1:17, Peter's like, listen, understand, the days are dark. Walk in a manner worthy. Paul says, you're all going to give an account for what you've done before the Lord. And so now is not the time for us to hunker down in a cave and ride out the storm and say, okay, Lord, come on back. But for us, all the more, let the light shine. Let it shine in the darkness so that all those around you may see it and glorify your Father's in heaven. The city set on a hill. Be the beacon. Light the way. All right? Vote. I am telling you to vote. I'm encouraging you to vote. All right? Out in the lobby, we have available for you. It's made available by the Faith and Freedom Coalition. So it's a non-biased approach. They simply interview the candidates based on their voting records on the 10 key issues. But we've already talked about the number one issue, right? Those are out there, both for our president and for our state representatives. So grab a voter guide. Look at it, right? Do the research. If you need to vote, if you want to vote, and you say, oh, man, my registration or whatever, you can do that today in the office. Kim's in there with a computer. You can sign up. Look, I did it for somebody else the other day. It took 5 minutes. 5 minutes to update your registration, get a mail-in ballot, get it in there, get it done. Let your voice be heard. Count. When Christians are indifferent, then evil advances. Let your light shine, all right? So will you do your part to help bring about God's kingdom and will on earth as it is in heaven? So as we end our time here, music team, you guys want to come on up here this morning? I'm going to ask you all here to just close your eyes for a minute. I said that the thing that we need more than anything and first and foremost is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have never before said yes to his lordship, if you have not accepted his death on the cross, his payment for your sin, if you don't have the assurance of eternal life, but you want it this morning, asking you to raise your hand right now. Let me know. Let me see you. Let me agree with you in prayer. If you're watching online live stream, hit us up in a chat box. We'll follow. We'll agree with you. You know, we don't have to be present. There's nowhere on earth we can go. We can't escape God's presence. Okay. All right. If you are willing to commit to being his light in the darkness, to not giving in to fear, letting your heart be comforted, being obedient to the Holy Spirit and doing your part to bring the Father's will and kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you have a plan. You're working that plan. Part of it is finished. My sin paid for by you. Death defeated by your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who leads me by peace, according to grace, and by your power, that you lead me, Lord, to be your vessel, to be your light, to uphold your ways, to make a difference in this world, to help bring your kingdom and your will to earth. I look forward, Lord, to when you'll appear in the sky. But until then, your grace is more than enough for me. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.